How about that new intro, ooh, ladies
nice,
and gentlemen?
Nice intro, man.
Yeah, a little 8-bit Galaga Space Invaders type action going on here. It is hot. Thursday night. It is after 9:30, but it is the Powerbomb Nation's Culture Cast. I'm Dwight Couch. With me, as always, the man to my left or right, depending on which way you're looking at the screen, the one, the only, the incredibly talented Mr. Jason Shepherd.
Hello, hello.
How are we doing tonight, my friend?
We're doing fine, my friend. Just fine. Just fine.
Good.
It's Thursday. That means tomorrow's Friday, which means I just got to make it through 8 hours. 8 hours of misery and torment. And I will be free as a bird for a short 48 hours.
Let me ask you a question on that. So now you'll have the weekend off. Now I had just been getting adjusted the last couple of years to having Saturday and Sunday off. It was never anything that in my life that I'd had, because I'd always worked the weekends because the industries I've always been in.
Okay.
But I find myself now with Saturdays and Sundays off. I don't know that I like it.
I love it. Absolutely love it. That is the time that I get to spend with my girlfriend. So that's what it is for me. But I used to be a shift lead manager at Walgreens, and I did that for like 6 years. And not often would I have the weekends off. So I would work mostly Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night. But I would get like a Monday and a Tuesday off. And there was these little odd things about having a Monday or Tuesday off that I really enjoyed. And I do kind of miss that, because I would just get up kind of early and go shopping, or like go to visit like places like Half Price Books or so, you know what I mean? And like do stuff like that. And it was kind of fun. It was on a weekday. I don't know. But looking back, I wouldn't go back. You know what I mean? Like my weekends are the thing. Plus that's when all my events and things happen. So it's nice having that off and not having to worry about, well, am I going to be able to, am I going to be able to have off? So, yeah.
Well, see, now I found myself, and no, it doesn't make us feel any better that today's your Friday tater hole and 3-day weekends. Congratulations, man.
What
are
you talking
awesome.
About? 3 day, 3 days for what?
He's got a new schedule at work.
Mother's Day? Oh, I get Monday off from Mother's Day.
but now I'm adjusting. I'm on Wednesdays. For the last month and a half, I've been on Wednesdays off. So I'm Wednesdays and Sundays.
Right.
But I found I can get a lot of stuff done. Like I've been to the doctor. I've had blood work done. I've got a primary care physician now. I can go to Walmart and not have to be like around a bunch of people.
No, that's very true.
You know, you can't go freaking grocery shopping on Saturday because there's 100 people and no carts.
Right.
You know, and so it made me really consider, because some of the guys at work are like, hey, well, at least you get Saturdays. I'm like, yeah, you know, it's nice having 2 days in a row. I like that.
Yeah.
I don't know that it needs to be Saturday and Sunday.
It doesn't need to be, as long as you have time to rest and recuperate and get things done and do the things that you want to do. Or do absolutely nothing.
That's my favorite days off, for absolutely nothing.
Let me tell you something. You know, I do the artwork stuff, which means I do events. And as much as I love doing events, I hate knowing that, like, it's Friday night. Tomorrow morning, you got to get up at like 5 a.m. and you have to travel to this place or that place, and you have to set up and you have to sit there all day. And before you know it, your Saturday's done. And then Sundays are just depressing, right? So, because you're like, oh, God, where did my weekend go? So,
yeah, I'll go back to work tomorrow.
Yeah, I like those chill, non-obligatory weekends. Obligatory. I said that right? Obligatory. Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds right.
It's that a sounds good, good.
If it's not the proper use, it sounded like it was a proper.
I think that's
use.
The use, but I, yeah.
It's like most things in life. It doesn't actually matter if you know how to do them, as long as you think you know how to do them, or it sounds like you're doing them right.
I did it right. What are you talking about? I do everything right.
I don't do everything right. I can't do everything right.
Yeah, me either.
At least that's what I'm told.
So, I'm sharing our link here.
Excellent. No, that is perfect. While you're doing that, we need to remind everybody, make sure you like and subscribe, smash that like button, hit the notification bell so that you know when the Culture Cast will be live in your eyeballs. We are also in your ear holes. If you are into that type of thing, make sure you catch us on the podcast apps, whatever podcast app of your choice. I do try to release the episodes on Thursdays. Going into Friday morning, so they should be fresh and ready for you to listen to on your Friday commute or over the weekend. We do have several people just joining us now, so we should have at least 4 likes on the smashing the like button there. But Jason, let's go ahead and get started. We have a couple things that we want to take a look at, and one of those being... A little sweet, smooth jazz
melody. Welcome to Culture Cast News, broadcasting live from Lexington, Kentucky, and Frankfort, Kentucky. It's the White Couch and Jason Shepherd. It's just in. What are we doing?
No, that's what I should have had going on there. You got to put that down on a track. Just you doing little beeps.
Well, here's the thing. I took that beep from the other podcast. So Matt, our co-host Matt, he has a thing where whatever topic we're talking about, it's called. He'll dive in and dig out some facts about that particular topic, and it's called Matt's Stats. So every time he hits a Matt's Stats cue, I do a and. I honestly think they're getting annoyed with me. So I'm just going to stop with them and carry it over to this. Sorry, guys.
So we'll just have to steal that here. But speaking of stealing, these people had to be a little worried because, and tell me if you have heard about this story or not. Do you have a Ring doorbell?
Well, I don't know.
You should get one because they're catching all the damnedest things on the Ring doorbells. Plus you can talk to people, you know, when they come up to your house and try to break in, and you can be like, you know, hey, I'm watching you.
Right. Like, this ain't gonna work, man. Just turn around.
So I was perusing some stories for us this week, and I ran across this one right here. All right. And I thought this was damn worthy of being some Culture Cast news. But here we got some actual Ring doorbell footage. Riveting if you're listening to the podcast. Riveting audio.
Riveting.
Okay, I was making sure I didn't pause it.
Where's the bear? Got to see the bear. Where is he?
So here he comes. He's lumbering up on the porch.
There's the bear. He just wants some cocaine. Yeah. That's crazy.
So he hits the iconic little ring chime there. And rings the doorbell. Gets all up close and personal with those people. So have you seen Cocaine Bear?
No, I do want to see it, though. I mean, it's like right at my alley because anytime... It's so, I think, like reminiscent of those creature features of like the 70s and 80s. And like, it's a bear that's on cocaine, ravaging things and people. But not only that, it's based on a true story, which is from here, right here in Kentucky.
Yes.
So, yeah, I want to see it. Cocaine Bear, literally the real Cocaine Bear is a less than a 10 minute drive from my house right now. He is displayed somewhere downtown. Check out. She is displayed somewhere.
So you know they had it in the theater in downtown Lexington. They had the actual bear came for the movie premiere.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'll be doing Scarefest this year, and they're gonna one of their special guest announcements was Cocaine Bears, so they're gonna have it down there.
Oh, nice. That yeah. So I didn't watch it, but Wendy was watching it while I was getting ready to go to work, and she had it on. And of course, you know, it is one of those things. If I never see the movie, I'm not going to stress myself trying to go see it.
Yeah.
But you know, if I catch bits and pieces or if it's on, you know, yeah, I'll sit down and watch it. But it is a ludicrous film. The bits and pieces I saw was very, very outrageous. And then it got a lot of blood and gore and things like that in it. And at that point, it was one of those things that just was not going to be on the TV anymore.
What did you think was going to happen?
Well, I kind of figured there was going to be some gore and everything. But I wasn't watching it. My wife was. I was getting ready for work.
Yeah. My boss at work, he watched it. And, like, he comes into work the next day. Or I guess he watched it over the weekend. So he comes into work that Monday and he goes, I mean, all day long, he kept talking about it. And whoever didn't hear him talk about it the first five times, he would bring it up again. And he would be like, but he was spoiling the ending. He's like, yeah, there's a scene at the end where Ray Liotta, he's hanging off a cliff. And blah, and I'm like, and he just literally like told me what happened at the end. And I'm like, and he said it like five times. And I was like, wow. So I was kind of interested in watching the movie. And, appreciate you spoiling the ending for me. I know what happens at the end of it.
Is this the same guy that didn't like the Mario Brothers movie or was claiming to?
No, it's a completely different idiot.
So you got like a full.
Yeah. I've got a whole shop of them, man. Whole shop of idiots.
So have you heard of the Chonkosaurus?
No.
I thought this was definitely worthy. So let's hope this thing does not climb into any mutagen. But look how massive this it's a snapping turtle.
That's Bowser, bro. Look at that thing. It's probably like
60 pounds plus.
Yeah. Wow. Just
60 pounds.
They need to make a movie about Chonkosaurus next.
Right? Where's Chonkosaurus versus Godzilla?
No, Chonkosaurus versus Cocaine Bear.
Oh yeah, the great rivalry on the Elk.
He's so jacked up on coke that he can't even like feel the attacks right from Chonkosaurus. I'm buying it on VHS. Like, if that ever comes out,
maybe we should produce it.
Maybe we should make. Nobody's gonna make that, but maybe we should.
Culture's cast first film. Dang. It could be Chonkosaurus versus Cocaine Bear.
Oh, that is amazing.
We could make it kid friendly. It could be versus Powdered Donut Bear.
Yeah, he gets in.
We could get equally the amount of rush that it would need.
I think so.
Same effects.
Yeah.
So, speaking of Godzilla, did you know that we almost got the Adam West Batman versus Godzilla?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah. No, sure did. Not a joke. I see the look on your face. You were expecting the joke.
Now, here's the deal. With the 60s Batman, anything flew. So, like, I could see it happening.
Honestly. Yes. So evidently they had it ready and they just never followed through with it. It was supposed to be Batman versus Godzilla.
Who do you think would take that one?
Batman.
Probably.
Yeah, Batman beats everybody.
Probably. Yeah.
Except evidently the Flash.
Oh, well.
They say that the Flash is technically the most powerful superhero and that technically he can beat anybody because he could go right back in time and correct his mistake.
Okay. Yeah. Well.
Are you a Batman or a Superman guy when it comes to Batman versus Superman?
You know what? I am so burnt out on comic book everything right now. Like comic book fatigue, right? Movies, all that shit. I'm tired of it. But I love both Batman and Superman. Grew up with them. You know what I'm saying? Loved them both. Think they're cool characters. I am really, really into Superman, dude. Like, I think he's just your model for, like, he's like your blueprint for every, you know what I'm saying, superhero ever. Like, I don't know. Like, Superman. I don't know. I dig what he stands for, corny as it is. I dig his persona. I dig everything about Superman, man. I like him. So I got Superman posters right in front of me here. I mean, I love Superman. I grew up with Christopher Reeve, best Superman ever. Like, you can't top Christopher Reeve as Superman.
So now, do you think that Superman would win in a fight between Superman and Batman?
Well, I think it's been done. Like, well, I'm obviously not only the movie with what Henry Cavill and Ben Affleck, but I mean, I think it's been done in comics. You know, I never read them. I'm fairly certain it has been, but dude, I don't know. I don't want to see them. I don't want to see them fight, man. There was a comic series called World's Finest, and it was those two. They don't need to fight. They need to team up. That's all it needs to be. But I don't know.
It's like Savage versus Hogan. I mean, it's, you know, you got to see it. Ultimate Warrior versus Hulk Hogan. You had to see it. It was.
It's a
main event match.
Yeah, you would think Superman would be able to take out Batman, but Batman's had a lot of crazy adversaries in comics. Like, he's fought the Predator a few times in the comics, and he's always found a way to beat him. I think he's got those smarts where he can figure anything out to where it's like he's gonna work a way around to figuring out how to take you down, and he's gonna do it. So I don't know. It's a hard call, man.
I think Batman's got the money. Batman will have somebody make him something that can defeat Superman.
Make me some kryptonite.
Yes, make me a kryptonite batarang. With a kryptonite rope. So, you know what would be really cool? If we could take Superman and Batman and smack them slap down into the middle of an arcade game like Mortal Kombat, which they actually did, which is a fantastic. Mortal Kombat versus DC is a great game. Too bad we don't have it in an arcade cabinet. Can't go to the arcade and play that, because that's what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about the rise and the fall of one of the greatest pastimes in the United States, and that's the arcade. And like everything else, we're going to start with a little history, and then we're going to spin our conversation off from there. So we'll start with the history. The arcade is a form of entertainment that has been around for over a century. The first arcades were called penny arcades. They emerged in the late 1800s, the early 1900s in the U.S. They were small, coin-operated machines that allowed for people to play a simple game or watch short films for just a penny. In the 1920s, the modern arcade as we know it today began to take shape. Pinball machines and other mechanical games became popular, and arcades began to spring up in cities across the United States. The early arcades were often associated with gambling and frequently raided by law enforcement, because you know the government's got to get involved in anything that's just good old fun. The government's got to involve and say you can't do it, so they even got there in arcades back in the days. Back in the 30s and the 40s, video games began to emerge. The first video game was a simple game of tennis called Tennis for Two, created by physicist William Higginbotham. Sounds like a Batman villain. Old Bill Higginbotham.
Robin. It's Bill Higginbotham.
Holy Bigginbottom! What do you think he's up to, Batman?
I don't know, old chap, but let's get back to the Batcave. Not a moment to lose. Okay.
The first successful commercial video or video game was released by Atari in 72, and that was Pong. Then in the 90s, the popularity of the home video game systems like the NES and Sega Genesis led to an overall decline of people spending their hard-earned money and going to great places like arcades, which were a lot of fun. And that's pretty much the rise and fall of the arcades. It got around, it got popular, people got bored with it, they eventually have this stuff in their pockets, and nobody goes anymore, unless you live in Japan. And Japan, they're all about the arcades. They have everything is released on an arcade, which I think is super cool.
Arcades have made their return, my friend.
What's that?
Arcades have made their return.
So,
yeah.
When was the last time you've been to an arcade?
It's been many, many. It's been about 2015 or so, and I'll tell you why. No. I'm wrong. And if she heard me, she would kill me. My girlfriend, our second date was, so there's an arcade that opened up here in Lexington called, so there's a music venue called the Burl. Well, right behind it, sometime after they built the Burl, they added onto it and opened up the Burl Arcade. And it's super cool, man. Like you can go in there and there's skee ball. There's all kinds of pinball games. There's a stack. There's a wall of like, I don't know how many TVs that just are playing constantly different 80s movies. Like you can walk in and one TV might have like Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure on it. The other one might have like The Goonies. One might have Ghostbusters. And they're all playing at the same time. You've got pinball. You've got all these great arcade. Like here's in this particular corner, they have the Simpsons arcade, Ninja Turtles, the arcade game, and Terminator 2, the arcade game. Three of my favorites right there, side by side. It's super cool. So our second date was, you know what? And she suggested it. She was like, you want to go to the Burl arcade? And I'm like, yeah, let's do it. So we did that, and but arcades are really coming back in the form of places like that, man. Like people are opening arcades, and they'll oftentimes, like at the Burl, you have to pay to play them. But there are I know there's a place or two. There's maybe a place in Louisville, and I think there's a place somewhere in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, or Nashville, or somewhere there. They're probably all over the place that you go in. For a particular whatever day you go in and you pay like $10, $15, and you have access to every machine in the building all day, and you don't have to pay to play for it. You just go in. If you want to leave, you can come back later, show them a wristband or show them a pass or whatever that you had gotten earlier on in the day. You go in and pick it right back up, start playing. But when I said 2015, I had, as you know, used to do hip hop music, and my friend who's was making music with, and he's a DJ, and we traveled up to Columbus, Ohio, to do a hip hop festival. Middle of summer, hot as hell, kind of miserable, but. After we were done, we met a friend of ours at a place called 16-Bit Bar and Arcade. So you would go in, and they had all their drinks were themed. What did I have? The drink I had was called a Cyndi Lauper. right? So you would get a drink, right? All along the wall, they had consoles hooked up. Like, one wall had a Sega Genesis. One wall had a Nintendo. One wall had a Super Nintendo. One wall had an Atari. But all along the rest of the venue, they just had arcades. And you could play them for free. And it was really cool to see it, because the place was packed. I mean, it was popping. And knowing that the arcade had such a downfall after the home consoles came out, it was cool to go into a place in like 2015 and see, hey, you know what? People still flock to that. You know what I'm saying? People still get into that. People still enjoy that culture, that aspect of that culture. And I don't know, man. Just a super cool experience to go there. If you're ever in Columbus, I hope they're still open. 16-bit bar and arcade. And I believe they're kind of chained. So I think they had a few other locations in Ohio. But
I have not been to an actual arcade. Now, I'm not saying like, you know, Mr. Gaddy's, blah blah blah. They got, you know, Dance Dance Revolution or whatever.
You're right.
But I do always pick up Guitar Hero. Mm-hmm. When I'm at Mr. Gaddy's. But anyways, I digress. The last time I was in an actual arcade was in Lexington. It was down there off of Rose Street. There's a there was a Wi-Fi burger there. There now. Now it, there was, but I think it just closed down. I went there, gosh, but that was late 90s. So
well, you're talking about Wildcat Arcade, I think is what it was called.
Yeah, probably. I mean,
listen,
that would make
it was
sense.
It was 24 hours, dude.
Oh, really? See, I didn't know that.
It was you're talking on the corner of maybe like Rose and Euclid or something like that.
Yep. That sounds right. It's in that's like a brick. It's got like four outlet places in it. It was like the second one down was the arcade.
Yes. I'm going to talk about that later, actually.
So the last game I remember playing in an arcade might have very well been Tekken. It's probably like Tekken 3.
Yeah.
You know, whatever was popular in 98. And I went with my buddy Todd. And now Todd was really good. Really good. Todd Garrett. Hope you're listening and watching out there, Todd. But he's really good at all the fighting games, right? Knew all the combos, knew all the moves. Could pull off like a 26 chain piece with the old Japanese guy with the crazy hair.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, I get there, and I'm a button smasher. I don't care. I'm just hitting the buttons, you know, and something's going to freaking happen, right? And he can't beat me. I beat him like 3 times in a row, and he gets really pissed. And it was hilarious. He used to get really upset when somebody would beat him by just mashing buttons. So it was one of the favorite things to do. Me and my buddy Melvin would just go up there and would just smash on that purposely and, you know, do the Chun-Li kicks 1,000 times and beat him in Street Fighter or something.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
But that's what you do. That was the last time that I recall being in an arcade. That was an actual arcade that you walked into and had multiple things to play and, you know, throw quarters into them. You know, you get to roll a quarter, go to the arcade on the weekend. It was a good time.
Now Frankfurt had an arcade, did they not? Do you remember this? Eastside, somewhere in Brighton Park, I think, at one point.
Chris says it was Kentucky Arcade and it was Kentucky close arcade. To the UK.
Yes, that was it. Hold that thought. I'll be right back. Bathroom.
All right. So while we're waiting on Jason for his impromptu bathroom break, what was the last arcade game that you went in and that you've put 25 cents in? Let us know in the comments below. What was the last one that you actually spent your hard-earned quarters on in an arcade? And do you frequent the arcades they have now? Are there good games out there now? I don't even know what they would put in an arcade these days. I like the idea of seeing a lot of the retro games in arcade cabinets, you know, playing some of the classics like Donkey Kong or Burger Time and things like that. But let us know in the comments below what games would you be excited to play in an arcade if you were to able go back. Would you rather see something retro, something newer? I know, I guess a lot of the third-person shooters are in the arcade cabinets now. Never a big fan of some of the old shooting games. I tend to stay towards the fighting games and then your traditional platformers when those were available, like the Ninja Turtles and the Simpsons Arcade, and WrestleFest was a big one. Walking Dead FPS at Gaddytown about 5 years ago. I was at Gaddytown the other day, and I don't think it is there any longer.
So, Kentucky Arcade. I also went. I would only go there. The only times I've ever been was with my friend named Todd. Todd Trailer. And one of my best friends. And we would hang out. This was probably around 99. And oftentimes I would just stay over at his place and I would just stay the night there. We'd hang out and we would stay up all night. I mean, we would do whatever. And we would get bored and just go, you want to go to the arcade? Like, yeah, be 1 a.m. Who cares? So we would drive to Lexington and go to this arcade. Nobody would be in there. And it was like dimly lit. And there was some old guy just like working the counter. You know what I mean? And he was like, he was smoking. He didn't care. He just, whatever. Walk in, get your coins, get your change. And I remember playing like Clax. Of course, we played The Simpsons. X-Men was a big one.
I love X-Men. That was
such a good arcade game. But you could go in there and play all these things all night, like in the middle of the night. It was just such a cool thing. And I mean, there probably nothing like that exists anymore. Like, you can't go to an arcade at 2 a.m. and play a game. Like, I miss that place, though. That was super cool. That was cool.
You can't even go to Walmart at 2 a.m. anymore.
No, you can't go anywhere. Everybody's since COVID, you know, everything that was 24 hours, like Meijer. I'm a Meijer guy. I shop at Meijer. Was an all night thing. You know, they changed. So they close at midnight now ever since COVID. So yeah, now it's all done, man. Like, I don't know if it'll ever go back, but.
Yeah, I miss the wild nightlife of Frankfurt when Walmart was open 24 hours.
You know, I knew people that would I knew people from Lawrenceburg when I lived in Frankfurt. I knew people from Lawrenceburg that would drive to the Frankfurt Walmart at night just to hang out there and walk. They would walk around Walmart, and that was their source of entertainment.
So, yeah, shit, I used to do that, and I'm from Frankfurt. I mean, that was the only thing to do.
Oh, man.
There's nothing to do in this town. You walked around Walmart in the middle of the night when they were finally open. You know, I mean.
Yeah.
I also used to work third shift when I worked at the gas station. I worked third shift for a long time, which saves you a shit ton of money because there's nothing to do. So you save a lot of money.
Sure.
But Walmart was the only place open. So, like, on days off, I'm, you know, wide awake at 2-3 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, might as well go to Walmart.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I did it too. So yeah.
So there was a sweet arcade on Louisville Road close to the game farm on the right back in the 80s.
Mm.
Yeah. I don't remember that now. I was stuck out on 127. We didn't.
Yeah. I don't remember that one either. For some reason, I remember one in Brighton Park.
It was in the movie theater area and all that.
It could have been, or it could have been down past where Tumbleweed was. There was Video East was down there for a while.
Yeah.
The video store. Yeah. I don't know how modern that building is versus, like, I don't know if that building even existed in the 80s.
That's a fantastic arcade game. Dragon Lair is an awesome arcade game.
You know, I never played it. It does look cool, though.
Yes.
It's like actually watching a cartoon you played or something, but yeah.
I think the Simpsons, pound for pound, I think the Simpsons might have the strongest arcade game.
Simpsons is heat. Like, well, I mean, it's right there in the same vein of X-Men and like
Ninja Turtles.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, you know what I mean? Like, it's yeah.
But, you know, up to that time, you never got a really good Simpsons game.
Right.
Up until the arcade, you know, the arcade machine. Because they were all, although I enjoyed them and played them all, but Bart versus the Space Mutants was not exactly burning up the controller 20 years later.
Nah, I feel you.
Just before you walked in the theater, Brighton Park Arcade was on the left.
Ooh, okay, so it was down there. Yep, okay.
So, some of the top 10 arcade machines that have made the most money over the year.
Okay.
And we're gonna go, I got the money totals here, and we're going to start with number 10. Number 10 was Star Wars in 1983. Made a whopping $700 million in quarters.
Wow.
You know, that's something people bitch about today is a DLC, downloadable content. You know, and I get it's frustrating to buy a game and then shell out another $20 over the next year on that game or how much ever people wind up paying out now. But man, back in the day, that's what arcade games were. Mm-hmm. You went and you would shell out your, you know, $5, which would have been a lot back then.
Yeah.
You know, and you poured into a couple hours of the arcade. You do that several weeks in a row, you've paid $100 for a game that you never own.
Yep.
Number 9. I'm surprised this isn't higher up on the list. Golden Tee Golf.
Dude, Golden Tee is sick.
It's everywhere,
too. I love Golden Tee, man. I love a golf game, man.
How much do you think Golden Tee has grossed?
So I bet it's grossed $125 million.
$700 million.
So that's a lot. It's a lot of bread, man.
1990. I've never played Golden Tee Golf.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know what? A couple years ago, I downloaded the Golden Tee mobile app, and it played essentially the same way. Only the machine had the ball that you would roll. This, you just swipe your finger, but I mean, essentially the same concept, but, it was one of those things where like, unless you paid to upgrade, you weren't going to get very far in the game. I was just kind of like, I'm not interested anymore, but yeah, Golden Tee, man. You know what's super cool about that is, where I work, Cinerama, we do window graphics at least once a year for Golf Exchange out on Richmond Road here in Lexington. And if you go inside Golf Exchange, there is a Golden Tee arcade machine. So every time I'm over there and we're like going to take a 10-15 minute break, I'm like, I'm going to go in here and hit the Golden Tee real quick. So I'll go in there. Nobody's ever playing it. So I go in there and I'm like rolling the ball. It's cool, man. Yeah.
Number 8. Personal favorite of mine.
All right.
Mortal Kombat 2.
1993. Okay.
Again, $700 million.
Yeah.
You remember when video games used to come out on Monday?
Mm-mm.
Mortal Monday. That's when Mortal Kombat came out, because it was like Mortal Monday, and they would release them on an odd day versus the normal Thursday or Friday that we get now. Number 7, 1979, Asteroids.
Okay, yeah.
$800 million.
Wow.
Number 6, Mrs. Pac-Man, 1982, coming in at an even $1 billion.
It's wild.
Number five, 1981, Defender, $1.1 billion. Number four, everybody's favorite monkey, Donkey Kong, 1981, $5.4 billion. Wow. So we got into the top, we got past the top five, and we're getting five times as much as the last cabinet made them.
Yeah.
Number three, Street Fighter II, $10.6 billion. Everybody loves some Street Fighter II.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, I...
Ape, monkey. I'm fairly sure they're in the same species. Orangutan, which I know Donkey Kong's not an orangutan.
Are you talking about Blanca?
Ooh, Blanca, yeah.
What are you talking about?
Now, Chris had said, because I called Donkey Kong a monkey. And he was correcting me that Donkey Kong is an ape.
He's an ape.
Number two, 1980, Pac-Man with $12.8 billion. Care to guess what the number one grossing arcade cabinet of all time is?
Well, it's not Donkey Kong, so it's not that game. So,
Space Invaders.
Definitely
was not E.T. Thank goodness.
You know, no, I'm not even gonna let nobody trash talk that E.T. game, man. I got love for that E.T. game because I can actually beat it. I know how to beat the E.T. game. If you know your objective, if you read the instruction manual to E.T. on Atari, it is laid out quite clear for you what your objective is and what you have to do to achieve it. Like, people didn't give it a chance, man. People did not give it a chance. They all ended up in a landfill. I digress.
They did. Did the E.T. make a cabinet? Surprise, Galaga was not on the list as well.
They didn't make an E.T. cabinet, but
So here's what I find interesting about this list. And I thought it was very telling about our subject today. As you go from 1 to 10 and you see the money digress, with the exception of Street Fighter II, which would have kind of ushered in the fighting games at a cabinet. So I think that's why all these games were before 1982.
Mm-hmm.
Space Invaders, 78. Pac-Man, 80. Donkey Kong, 81. Defender, 81. Miss Pac-Man, 82. Asteroid, 79. Star Wars, 83. That's seven of the top 10 were early 80s. And it really shows where the popularity really hung in with Space Invaders, Pac-Man, Ms. Pac-Man arguably being actual better than Pac-Man in most people's eyes. I think most people would go to a Ms. Pac-Man machine versus an actual Pac-Man machine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Chris liked Kung Fu Master and Ye R Kung Fu. I don't think I ever played any Kung Fu games on an arcade outside of the fighting games.
Yeah. I didn't either. God, yeah, man, that's crazy.
So,
can you imagine being the developer of one of these games and just making bank? I don't know.
Have you heard the story of Donkey Kong? How that came about?
Maybe not. I don't know.
So the game of Donkey Kong was fairly controversial in the fact that it wasn't a space game like everything else being successful out there.
So
space Invaders,
games,
Defender.
Yeah. Asteroids, yeah.
So they were releasing a space game, and they got stuck with all these cabinets, and they weren't doing any good. And the guy had been pitched the Donkey Kong game. And he finally, after realizing he was sitting on these 500 cabinets or whatever it was, that were not being used, that weren't making no money, and he had like 2 weeks. The guy married into the company, so it's his father-in-law or future father-in-law that he's doing the business for. So he's got to impress, because it's not like he deserved the job. But he's making the best out of the situation. And he runs with the idea after he realized that I can't sell these 500 cabinets. He has them all repainted to the Donkey Kong cabinet. So you can literally, if you get one of the old cabinets, you can take off the one coat of paint and there'll be the other one below on the cabinet. But that's how Donkey Kong started, was all on a guy was like, well, shit, I've got nothing else to lose. I got a week before this, you know, my gig's up. I might as well try something crazy. And he got Donkey Kong. It warms the cockles of his heart that 7 out of 10 were in our heyday. I don't know that my heyday was 1982 and 83.
I mean,
I'm pretty sure Jason's heyday was not exactly 81 through 83 either.
I know. I gotta be honest with you. Much as I love a good arcade, I was a fan of the video game home console, whatever, you could bring it home and play it. And of course, we had Atari before anything else, so that's what I grew up on, was Atari. And my dad had one, and we had a shitload of games, and I still have an Atari here, and you can see the box behind me up here on the behind me. I've got an Atari, and I've got, I don't know, probably 30, 40 games, and I play it on occasion, but it's still a lot of fun. But the thing for me was the NES, the Nintendo. I mean, that was just the end-all, be-all of video game. Video games in general, I think, for me, was just like, that was it. Like, to this day, my fan, you know, I love Super Nintendo. I love Sega Genesis. I love PlayStation 2. I think those were great consoles. But, man, can't beat the Nintendo. Can't beat being able to bring a game home, either renting it by renting it from a video store, or going and buying it, like, or getting it for Christmas or your birthday or whatever. Like, God, man, owning that, you know, being able to have it in your collection, play whenever you want to play it.
Super Nothing cool. Like bringing a cartridge home and doing the...
Yeah, totally unnecessary. Didn't do a damn thing. Probably not even good for the cartridge, but yeah.
That's it was not good for it whatsoever.
Totally still guilty of doing it. It's one of those things that's like you get the kitchen tongs out and you click it a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Ching, 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 ching. Got to make sure they work.
It's like, yeah. It's the same thing. So you blow in the NES cartridge because that's what you're... That's what your mind was trained to do, I guess. So.
Speaking of being trained, make sure you visit Paul's Oasis, thepaulsoasis.com, for great deals on great products for your furry family members, cats, dogs, living together, mass hysteria. It's all going down at thepaulsoasis.com. Make sure you check them out and... pick up a few items. It also helps the shows and keeps us going here on the Powerbomb Nation with any purchase that you make at thepaulsoasis.com.
Can I ask you a question? Did we get sponsored at some point? Did you get sponsored?
We got a sponsorship right there. If that website was to sell an item, then we are in a good spot to continue our show.
Jeez, Paul's Oasis, thank you.
So,
very nice.
10 of the most popular arcade games. What arcade game do you think you would want to see on this list?
Well, I think that I mean, if we're talking personal favorites, you know, I've already mentioned a lot of them. The Simpsons, the Terminator 2, fantastic. The X-Men, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, you know what I mean? I was a big fan of 1942.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's like the space games. It's the same principle.
It's the same principle. I loved it. I loved it. But dude, RoboCop is a great arcade game. And you know, they ported that over Nintendo, and they did fairly well with it for Nintendo, but something about that arcade is just, you know what? Dude, I've discovered so many arcade games that Aliens is a great arcade game. Have you ever played that?
I've never played Aliens on the...
Dude, I mean, it's your typical... It's like X-Men, only you're Ripley, right? And you get to go... badass. Totally badass. Did you know there's a Willow arcade game?
I did not.
Fantastic. You can play as Willow or Mad Mardigan. Val Kilmer, you know. Super cool. There's so many arcade... Hook. Robin Williams, Hook, badass. You can be Pan, you can be Rufio, you can be several of the Lost Boys. It's like, take your pick. You can be any of these guys. It doesn't matter. Your credit's over, your game's over, pick another guy. It doesn't matter.
I thought that was always one of the most appealing things to the arcade games, was getting the flexibility to be other characters. I think that's what was very intriguing about the Simpsons game.
Mm-hmm.
Was it opened up more of the characters to you.
Yeah, for sure. And hell, the Simpsons, you could be the whole family pretty much, right? Except Maggie. I think the whole premise is that Maggie, didn't she get taken? Or
I think so, but I know, you know, Marge uses the vacuum cleaner.
The vacuum, that's great.
Yeah.
Wow, yeah.
Rampage. You remember Rampage?
Oh,
I
sure.
loved Rampage on the great arcade. You got to play as the werewolf.
Yeah.
On there, you so you weren't just stuck with Lizzie.
Yeah, you got, yeah, you didn't get, yeah. Yeah.
Did you ever see the Rampage movie?
Something just told me not to watch it. I don't know.
It wasn't that bad.
Really?
Yeah, it was all right. I mean, for what it was, it is what it is. It's sure. not like it was groundbreaking video game cinematography.
Yeah, you can't expect a Shawshank Redemption out of that or anything. So,
Spy Hunter was a really good game. I think I played that on the arcade a couple times. I played it more on the NES.
Yeah. See, I have it on NES and I don't like it because there's no end to it. And I don't like a game that doesn't necessarily have an end. I don't know. It's like, I want to have that goal to achieve. I want to be able to have that end game where it's like, I beat it. Or, you know, I was able to, yeah.
You know what's good on an arcade? Cruising the USA.
Cruising USA is fire.
Cruising World. Yeah. And that's something that the home machines never could replicate was the arcade version of a race game.
Well, listen, you get inside those machines and you sit down and you've got your... You're breaking your gas pedals and you've got your steering wheel and you're actually kind of driving, you know, those are fun, man. Those are a lot of fun. Afterburner. Did you ever sit down inside an Afterburner machine? They're amazing. I mean, a friend of mine, several years back, took his kids to Chuck E. Cheese, and I was with them, and I was like, "Yeah, I'll tag along, whatever," you know. And I walked in, and I saw they had an Afterburner machine. I was like, "I know what I'm going to be doing." So I was literally pumping quarters, and dude, I was just like, you've got the control stick in your hand, and you're piloting this fighter jet. It's so cool, man. a lot of those kinds of games, they give you that like experience of being, I don't know, like you're really there, you're really doing it, you know what I mean? It's a lot of fun, man. Spy Hunter. He says Spy Hunter. See, I didn't, man. Did you like it, Chris? I wasn't a fan.
Jason needs closer. I don't know.
What does that mean? Tell me what that means.
As we wait on Chris to explain in further detail, you know, I'll take it back. When I go to Gaddytown, there are a couple arcade games that I play. The new Cruisin', whatever it is, they have one of those up there, and I'll play that at least once. And they have a Mario Kart arcade.
Really?
Yeah, the Mario Kart's a lot of fun in an arcade form.
Okay.
He did. He liked the oil slicks. Spy Hunter.
But what did you mean by Jason needs closer? I don't understand. Like Nine Inch Nails
closure. Oh, you need closure. Oh,
closure. Yeah. Well, yeah. I need closure to a game. I don't. Spy Hunter does not offer that. So.
Oh, so you like something like Ghouls and Ghosts was just torture.
Yeah.
Or Ghosts and Goblins. I mean, it had an end, but you really just kept going and going. Yeah. Or what was it? Wasn't Bubble Bobble like kind of never ending?
It's like 99 levels or something. No, you can beat it. Yeah. But it's like,
all right. Yeah. Top 10 most popular arcade games. This is in terms of cultural impact.
All right.
Since we are a pop culture podcast,
that's what we do.
We are arcade cultural impact. Yeah. Number 10, one of my all time favorites, Golden Axe.
Oh, Golden Axe is good.
Yeah. Golden Axe is good in the arcade. It is fantastic on the Sega.
Yeah.
It is an all around good game. Number 9, Tetris.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I would have loved to play Tetris on the arcade and, you know, been competing with some high scores on some Tetris there. That would have been a lot of fun.
It's a classic. It's great, man.
Number 8, Defender, which we talked about in the last list. Number 7, the original Mortal Kombat.
Mm. Yeah.
Because now with the original Mortal Kombat, you brought in a lot of blood and a lot more of a mature fighting game. Number 6, Mrs. Pac-Man. Number 5, Street Fighter II, kind of the fighting game that kind of kicked it all off. Number 4, Galaga, which Galaga did not make the last list because it didn't make as much money, but it was definitely like, it was the one Chris mentioned, the one of the first things he thought of. Number 3, Space Invaders. Number 2, Donkey Kong, the fluke of an arcade machine. But number 1, who's your number 1? Who do you think number 1 is?
I mean, I couldn't even begin to, I don't know.
Pac-Man.
Is it Pac-Man?
Pac-Man is the most cultural influenced arcade figure. Which I can definitely see that.
I can get behind that. I can get
Pac-Man behind that. Pac-Man is everything.
Yeah.
My daughter even sees Pac-Man she's never played Pac-Man, but she knows who Pac-Man is. She'll look at like a Trivial Pursuit, you know, and be like, oh, look, it looks like Pac-Man.
There you go.
And I'm like, where the hell did you learn who Pac-Man is?
Pac-Man. I have I collect cassette tapes and listen to them still, but, I picked one up one day and I was like, yeah, I'm buying it, whatever. Do you remember Pac-Man Fever, the song?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I got that album. I got the whole album. I can't remember who the group is, but if it was within reach, I would go get it, but it's not. it's right over there, but I'm not getting it. I think the whole album is like video game themed or arcade themed or something. You know, it's Pac-Man Fever.
Pac-Man cartoon. I love the Pac-Man. I remember the Pac-Man cartoon.
Oh, the Pac-Man cartoon. Remember the Pac-Man cereal?
Yes. Pac-Man cereal
was
the shit.
There was a Pac-Man cereal. Yeah, I used to get that shit.
Yeah. I ate plenty of Pac-Man cereal.
Yeah. You know what? My girlfriend's daughter for Christmas made me she's a very crafty girl. Made me a Pac-Man out of clay that you could hang from your rearview mirror, but on the string that it hangs from, she got me a bottle of like scented oil that you could put on the string, so it's like a Pac-Man air freshener. It's like super cool,
and it's just like the Pac-Man arcade. It is one that can last forever.
Lasts forever, man. Even when the smell goes away, it's gonna, you know, still got it. Yeah, timeless.
Like Mr. Pac, I like the newer Pac-Man games are really cool. I like the fact that they brought him 3D. And
well, you know, they did that
Pac World or something.
Yeah, they I think it was Pac-Man World or something. They had one on Nintendo that they put out. Pretty cool. Like it was like kind of a 3D overhead view. Different kinds of levels that all had a different look, and as you went on, they got bigger and bigger and Pac-Man.
Cultural icon all in himself.
For sure.
But this brings us to the decline of the arcade industry can be attributed to several factors. The rise of the home video game console, starting with the NES in the mid-80s. Additionally, the cost of popular arcade games increasing as technology advanced. Newer games requiring more advanced software, which drove up production costs. The high cost in producing new games made it difficult for the operators to keep up with the latest trends and offer fresh offerings inside the arcade. In the advent of mobile gaming, smartphones, tablets in the 2000s also played a role in the decline, just because the culture shift that we had there. Another factor was the changing demographics of gamers. As video games became more popular and widely accepted, it began an appeal to a wider audience far beyond the stereotypical teenage male demographic that had been the core audience for arcades. Despite the decline of the arcade industry, there are still some arcades that survive and even thrive by offering unique experiences that can't be replicated at home, such as arcade games that are difficult to find, or offering social experiences like competitive gaming and tournaments. So there are local places to go get your arcade games on out there. Make sure you go find them. Jason, do you have anything else to add? Any more quarters to put in the slots?
I got some quarters to put in the slots. I got one little last tidbit. And I know, Dwight, that you are a man who loves a good urban legend, right?
Yes.
Have you ever heard of Polybius?
I have.
Okay, so for everybody listening that's not familiar with Polybius, I got some notes. Now, Polybius is a legendary arcade game that allegedly existed in the early 1980s. Now, according to urban legend, the game was developed by the government as an experiment in mind control, right? And playing it had a range of effects on those who played it, including hallucinations, amnesia, and suicidal tendencies. There is no concrete evidence that the Polybius arcade game ever actually existed. The story appears to have originated on the internet in the early 2000s and has since become a popular urban legend among gamers and conspiracy theorists. However, some game developers have created games inspired by the Polybius legend, which feature similar gameplay and surreal visuals. And those games are typically intended as tributes to the urban legend rather than as an attempt to recreate the original game. Now, who knows if it was ever made? If you're familiar with the Angry Video Game Nerd, he did an episode where he went into this warehouse full of old games and ran across Polybius, and he played it And it was an entertaining little episode, but I just thought that was cool. And so if you watch Stranger Things, season three. When they're in the mall, when the whole thing goes down in the mall, I think it's season three. If you look in the background at one scene, there is a Polybius arcade machine back there, just as sort of a head nod to that. So, yeah, I'm sure it didn't exist in real life, but I kind of wish it did. I would play it.
I would. Would you really play it?
I think I would play it. Yeah.
I would be interested to see after you played it.
Like,
and then I would make my decision if I wanted to play it.
And then I'll play it. Yeah. Let's see if he gets fucked up, and then I'll play it.
Yeah.
Oh, let's see if he gets messed up. Sorry, YouTube. Let's see if Jason gets jacked up. We're done. There goes our, yeah.
It's all down. The Paul's Oasis is going away.
Paul's Oasis is like, you know what? We can't get behind this. I'm sorry, Paul's Oasis. And I'm sorry, YouTube, for cussing. Jeez Louise.
Oh, you probably offended someone named Louise.
That sounds about right. Yeah.
That does sound about right. You know what else sounds about right, Jason?
What?
It is getting late.
It is.
Our arcade is closing.
Closing down for the night. We're not 24 hours here.
We are not. We have our new protocol in place. But ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us tonight for our trip down memory lane. Again, make sure if you need any pet supplies, go to thepawsoasis.com. Get yourself some awesome pet supplies. Remember, Powerbomb Nation's Culture Cast is a product of Powerbomb Digital. For the one and only Dwight Couch, right with me, popping a top on his Miller Lite, and the man with the, still got the rings, you still got the six pack on there. I'm convinced that you still carry them around.
Son, I will hook it to my belt and walk around the house with it.
I know you told me that you do. I think you do.
I would do it. I've done it before. It's a tribute to Cousin Eddie from National Vacation. He does that. But yeah.
Oh, I can't wait. We'll have a good Christmas episode this year.
Yeah.
We'll have to do something with National Lampoons. That'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Damn. But anyways, for Jason Shepherd, I'm Dwight Couch. Thank you for tuning in and have a great week.